Seconds. Okay, perfect. Yeah, no. My summer's going really well. I am a rising senior. But the summer's been nice. I've been living on campus as a summer RA, which we have, and definitely taken advantage of
That's
that.
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I have an internship also at Department of Commerce, which is going all right. But
Cool. That's great.
yeah.
Well,
So.
I'd love to hear about the 10-year anniversary of the Out for Change campaign, or kind of what the background is on the interview today.
Exactly. So about a year ago, beginning of the summer last year, Shiva started tasking a few of her student workers with. Originally, it was archiving and going through a lot of the history from the 80s, like from back from the lawsuit that students fought for recognition of just a gay group on campus. And it was, I mean, none of us knew at the time, but it was her way of building up to these two, and she's separating these anniversaries into two separate anniversaries. The 10th anniversary of the Out for Change campaign, which is this coming, well, like this coming year. And then the 10th anniversary of the founding of the center, which will be in summer of 2018. So moving on past, so we have gone through like literally hundreds of articles from the lawsuit, and then also moving into from the time around the Out for Change campaign, going through lots of, and those were more Hoya and Voice articles,
Yeah.
and yeah, and then build upon that, and like so in order to prepare for the 10th anniversary of the Out for Change campaign, we've been conducting interviews of students, staff, and faculty that were involved in the whole build up to the town hall, the decision to, approve the founding of the center, the working groups, the hiring process to hire the director for the center. So we have a very good number of interviews from many people
Excellent.
that were involved, and it's really exciting to get to do another one right now. Normally, I do these with Caitlin Opperman, who just recently graduated. But she also just recently found a job, and
Yeah.
time's limited. So since I
Fair
have
enough.
on Fridays, so I'm able to conduct this.
Okay,
But yeah,
great.
before we get started, I'll just let you know that we do record these, but that's mostly just so we can go back and like listen to things. And if we ever use anything, whether for a video that we make, or if we're also making a like little website blog that we'll be posting a lot of things on. So if we ever use it for that, we'll like come back to you and ask if we use a direct quote or anything. But if that's all right with you.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great.
Cool. So I will hit record and we can start. I'll introduce myself, and then you can introduce yourself, and then I'll start off the actual interview. So my name is Zachary Abu-Akil. I'm a student worker at the LGBTQ Center, a rising senior.
My name is Jane Dwyer. I am an alumna of Georgetown. I graduated in 2010 from the Georgetown College.
And so we've been starting off these interviews basically just asking about what you would like to tell the student body, the current student body at Georgetown, about your time during the Out for Change campaign, what you remember most, what was most salient to you, what sticks out really. So you can just, tell your story from wherever you want to begin.
Okay. I think the thing that stuck out most to me, and subsequently I've been able to reflect back on over the last almost 10 years, is the passion of the students at Georgetown in putting together the campaign. I think at the beginning of the campaign, there were a lot of different feelings from different members of the Georgetown community that ranged from frustration to anger to just sadness. And so I think all the students being able to get together and organize to create something that has, what I can see from a an alumna status, been very successful and something that other schools are now seeking to follow our example, has been really amazing. I was a sophomore in 2007 when the campaign was underway, so I had just arrived at Georgetown the year before, And having had parents at Georgetown, I think that it was I was living a different experience than they were, and especially it was a little bit kind of for me. I was coming out at the same time that the campaign was going on, so it was a little bit. I was more in the little a little bit more in the hesitant sphere of you know, what do the hate crimes and the bias-related incidences look like for students on campus? And I think that the Out for Change campaign gathered a bunch of students and created a safe spot to discuss different issues and ended up being able to create real change on campus, which, you know, Georgetown has a lot of students who are go-getters. And so it was great that the passion produced something so, you know, so wonderful that's been able to be used by future students.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Okay, that's a good segue. So can you talk a little bit more about, I guess, what that felt like then, coming to terms of, like, coming out to yourself, but also while all this was going on, and what exactly did you feel like it meant, the hate crimes that happened on campus meant for yourself and meant for, what was the feeling in the general, like, LGBTQ community on campus when that went?
Yeah, well, I can start about my personal feelings first and then hypothesize on others. But I think for me, it was scary, to use like a pretty cliche term, I guess, because both my parents graduated from Georgetown and, you know, met in freshman year of Georgetown and like very much Georgetown alumni and were very Catholic. So it was very difficult for them to understand what was going on with the LGBT community, and they were also at Georgetown during the lawsuit that was happening in the 80s. So they had a different history and view of everything that was going on than I did. So I didn't feel super safe at home talking to them about the Out for Change campaign and about, you know, myself coming out. So it kind of manifested in just an internal like struggle already. And then seeing and hearing about students being, you know, beat up on campus or discriminated against or bullied by other Georgetown students due to their, you know, perceived sexual orientation or gender identity was very difficult to watch and, you know, be a part of. Prior to speaking with you, I was looking over some of the emails from the beginning of the Out for Change campaign, and the first three emails, one is like, you know, we can't remain silent, we need to go do something, that this is unacceptable, and just like words of, you know, kind of like almost not aggressive, but like fighting and not sure how to respond to something like this. And then the next email is another colleague who, you know, is saying, this is really scary. We kind of have to bury ourselves if we want to stay safe and not bring attention so that these things don't keep happening. And then there's a third perspective of, well, you know, we need to do something. Maybe aggression is not the way to go, but this can't keep going on. You know, we can't keep having an unsafe campus at Georgetown in, you know, 2007. So I think that that's how a lot of the students were responding. And I think that, you know, there's also a group of students that obviously didn't become part of the campaign, but were affected by the incidences that were happening on campus. And so I think having a community behind, you know, trying to create a safe space on campus hopefully led, you know, some students to join the campaign later, or at least reach out to other of their classmates who were, you know, experiencing the same sort of, you know, tumultuous feelings about the incidences on campus.
I see. That's really cool. So how did you, I guess, become a part of the Out for Change campaign? Was it through, like, GU Pride, or?
You know, I actually, it was not through GU Pride, because I was coming out then, so I was too, like, you know, scared is not the right word, but too hesitant to join GU Pride myself. But I had a lot of friends who were in GU Pride, so I kind of heard through the grapevine what was happening. And I had gone to a lot of the outspoken meetings, so I wasn't an official GU Pride member, but I was on, like, the listservs and things like that. And my close friends were Olivia Chayet, who was heading the campaign, and I knew Scott Cesari through the outspoken group, and same with Bill McCoy. I had met him several times through different student activities. So I kind of caught wind of what was going on, wanted to be on the listserv, wanted to be part of the campaign in as much as I could, granted, I wasn't as active a participant as probably some of the others you've talked to, just because I was trying to come out at the same time and, you know, make peace with myself and my family and like personal issues like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's really cool. I ask because a lot of students that we've talked to, or former students that we've talked to, say that the Outreach Change campaign represented, a true coalition of student groups on campus that people didn't really expect to come together for this. And
yes.
if you have anything to say about that, or what?
I think that's a really important point to definitely recognize as part of the history is there was some thought that, or the Out for Change campaign leaders wanted to make it clear early on that this was not part of GU Pride, or that this was, you know, a subset of GU Pride, but it was something different than that, and that GU Pride could be part of it if they wanted to, but it wasn't going to represent the voice of everyone in GU Pride. Because I think, you know, just what we were talking about before, where there's so many different responses to the hate crime incidences from members of GU Pride, the Out for Change campaign didn't want to be voice, like, speaking for everyone. So what ended up happening is we started recruiting endorsements from different student groups, especially political ones. We, you know, started with the College Democrats and College Republicans. Unfortunately, the College Republicans were not able to publicly endorse us due to their ties to their national organization. But there's a whole list of different clubs that did endorse us. GU Pride was on the list. Take Back the Night was on the list. Different academic departments, like the Women's Studies Department, and I think the English Department was on that list. I can forward you the exact groups. But it really did come from a grassroots organization, and, you know, became part of a lot of different groups who wanted to come, but it didn't represent any specific groups, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so along those lines, then, you know, the Outreach Change campaign had set, or they had leaders sort of, but they wanted to make sure that there wasn't someone whose vote counted or more than anybody else, or voices were heard more than anybody else, but they were just like organizers, as it were. And so it wasn't really like the president, vice president, treasurer like that. It was more just like a leading board to kind of keep things moving in a forward direction. And then anybody who wanted to, you know, kick into the emails or attend any of the events were more than welcome to in whatever capacity was needed.
Gotcha. I wanted to ask real quickly, I was going to ask but forgot. You mentioned the outspoken meetings. What exactly are those?
Do you guys have those outspoken anymore as part of the LGBT Center?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. Sorry. It's kind of, so it's like it's a anonymous peer led support group for students who, you know, who are either coming out or out and want to get support. So the format of the meeting is that there's one student who's leading it, who kind of facilitates a discussion on either a topic that they brought or one that someone in the group wanted to talk about. For me, it was really helpful to find other people who were just coming out and to talk about, you know, how do you navigate what's going on with your family or what's going on in the community? How do you come out to people just sort of repeatedly? What do you say? It was also about like building a community. We met weekly in the evening, and it was, you know, completely anonymous. You didn't have to say your name if you didn't want to. You didn't have to talk if you didn't want to, but it was just a safe place of students to talk about different issues related to gender identity and sexual orientation.
Thanks for telling me. All right. So then, moving into some bigger parts of the, are there any parts of the campaign before I move into the town hall that you want to talk about? Maybe like, because at a big events, I guess, were, you know, the march to Healy Hall and then being barred by the police or things like that. Like, were you there for that?
Yeah, I was part of the march. I wasn't the one at the front giving the T-shirt to President DeGioia or anything like that. But I think that was definitely a defining moment, just seeing a huge pool of students from various different groups, you know, walking from Red Square to Healy Hall with, you know, a letter and a T-shirt. It didn't seem, the response from, you know, the police and the security guards being there seemed somewhat unwarranted, though I guess being the administration, you never know what students are going to do. But it wasn't you know, I think the intentions of the Out for Change campaign were not to create riots or violence or fighting or anything like that. It was more just to have an open dialogue and discussion. And I think, you know, maybe that wasn't clear before we did that, but once, you know, President DeGioia, you know, got our letter and we had the forum, I think it was clear that everybody was open for, or everybody was up for open discussion on how do we make the climate here at Georgetown better.
I see. Good, how are you? 1 second. No, it's just me. Thank you. All right, hey Jane, I'm back.
Hey, okay.
just got packages delivered. All right. Okay, yeah.
I think one of the big things is the forum. I mean, yeah, the march to President DeGioia's office was important and like an initiating event to create the forum. But I think the forum is where a lot of, or at least for me, it seemed like a place of coming to peace with what's happening. It seemed like real change was going to happen after the student forum with President DeGioia, you know, because it sounded like he was there. He heard what we were saying. I think the students, you know, heard what he was saying too. And we were able to ask whatever questions. And I mean, he obviously did the best that he could in his position to answer them honestly and truthfully. And I think that, you know, for me, brought a lot of internal peace on this is something that's going to change and something is going to be happening at this point. We're past the point of just having, you know, a student, couple of random students trying to make change. But, you know, the administration is going to get behind us here and really make something happen.
Wow. Were you involved in any of the working groups?
I was peripherally involved in the working groups. So I was on the emails. I was an athlete as well, so I didn't have time to be part of the regular meetings, because I think the working group meetings met every single day and, you know, had a huge time commitment. So I kind of helped bounce ideas off of, or I was there to help bounce ideas off of, in terms of bringing in the athletic perspective and what it looks like for the, you know, sports teams to be part of this or not. And then I helped interview some of the candidates once we started looking for directors of the LGBT Resource Center.
Oh, I see. Okay. I guess, I mean, something I've always asked, even you probably could still answer, even though you weren't in the meeting with the working groups, but what was the, from a student's perspective, what was the feeling approaching these working groups, even though that you had, we had had the town hall or the student forum and DeGioia had said all these things, was it still kind of, you know, was there the trust still need to be established? Was it kind of, what was the, how did these students like?
Yeah, I think for the vast majority of people, trust still needed to be established among the administration, because I think, you know, there had been a lot of, not empty promises is the wrong word, but, you know, suggestions earlier in the year, like in over the summer and even my freshman year, so the spring of 2007 and fall of 2006 and the summer of 2007, that, you know, change was going to happen. The administration was going to do a better job, you know, letting Bill McCoy know if bias-related incidences were happening on campus. And, you know, they hadn't really necessarily done a good job from a student, from, you know, my limited perception as a student. They hadn't followed through on a lot of the things they said they were going to do in a timely fashion. So I think once with the working group, it was necessary to build trust immediately, or like in the first set of meetings. And I think that took some time for some students. Some people got on board with it faster than others. And I think it was also important to, you know, have administrative support or allies to the Out for Change campaign, as well as professors. You know, there were a handful of professors, probably, you know, five or six, that were on the Out for Change campaign emails and like regular voices in the meetings and concerns. So kind of having faculty support and, for lack of a better word, adult support to a student effort, I think led for relationships to build more quickly in the working groups once the conversations got started.
I see.
But yeah, there's a lot of apprehension in the first couple of weeks, I guess,
yeah,
to make that get going.
So looking back now then, 10 years later, what's your, I mean, I don't know when the last time you were on campus was, but what's your perception of like the work that has been accomplished by the center, by or the legacy of the Out for Change campaign? Is it, you know, what you expected, what you had hoped for, more or less?
I think it's, you know, more than I could have ever expected coming from my freshman year at Georgetown. I was on the Georgetown women's rugby team, so I've come back pretty regularly for alumni weekends and things like that. And I think, you know, talking to students, especially the undergrads now, there's no feeling of being unsafe or having, you know, being discriminated against in like classrooms or in social settings or in average social settings. Obviously there's exceptions if you put, you know, if there's, you know, whatever, there's always exceptions, but there's not the same level of baseline fear that being gay is wrong or, you know, wearing, you know, not fitting in with the Georgetown kind of straight look is going to cause you physical or emotional harm, you know. And it sounds like there's a lot more open dialogues. It's probably maybe also a result of what's happening in the national climate with change in, you know, gay marriage and just more protections that were occurring during the Obama administration. I mean, I think the fear is coming back now, but, you know, I think the national climate overall has been getting safer since 2006 and 2007. But I think the work that Shiva especially is doing with the Lavender graduation and different alumni events and court, she's always out there, you know, making the LGBT Resource Center known to the Georgetown community and extended community, as well as kind of the national community. So some of the students I was actually talking to who are applying to school are looking at Georgetown because they are gay and Catholic and heard it was the safest, you know, gay Catholic school that there is. And they think it's great. And people are applying to Georgetown for that reason, which I think is amazing. And really cool to hear high school students feel like they want to go to Georgetown because it is a safe space for the LGBT community, which is not something I ever thought was going to happen.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, so that has been awesome to hear, especially like my mom or my parents' friends' kids who are looking at Georgetown and just feel like that's such a great place to be if they're in the LGBT community.
Definitely. Yeah, we talk, I mean, you come to see and we talk a lot about how there was a convergence of, you know, a lot of different things that seemed to happen at the right time that allowed the Out for Change campaign to be so successful in terms of like a shifting national climate and the success of having hiring a director like Shiva who was going to keep the momentum, and also of course the almost, I mean, not unprecedented, but like the huge amount of student activism and experienced student activists that were on campus for the Out for Change,
right?
Which we've heard was a huge help. I mean, a lot of like solidarity committees like experienced the living wage campaign a few years before had helped a lot. I wanted to ask if you had any advice or lessons or literally anything for student activists on campus today, because we, you know, I mean, it's always, I guess you can look back at historical events with kind of like, you know, they kind of romanticize it a little bit, but even still, like, I mean, imagining that kind of movement, like an Out for Change campaign happening on campus today, is a little hard to do.
Right.
Like LGBTQ issues. And I don't know, I mean, if you have any advice, any thoughts around that.
I think, you know, that's a great question and something that I think about a lot too, having left Georgetown. I think, you know, for me, when I was at Georgetown, especially my freshman year, activism seemed a little bit scary. And, you know, you go out and you're holding picketed signs and, you know, people might get more physical with you. But I think the other part of activism is actually just, you know, leading by example. And for people who are not, you know, the go-getter, like extroverts, as it were, there's a place for everybody in activism. So even if that means just having, you know, one conversation about something that might be difficult to talk about with someone who doesn't agree with you, or talking to a professor, or just bringing something up, there's different ways to, you know, do activism. And it doesn't have to always be the loudest voice that's going to make the change. There's a lot of space especially as we found out in the Out for Change campaign, is for people to just lead by example and make themselves present. And, you know, sometimes just standing there and marching is creating enough of a presence that you don't have to do too much after that, you know? Yeah. But I think, yeah, there's room for, or there's different breeds of activism. And I think all of them sort of came together in the Out for Change campaign. I think you're right that it was great that there were, you know, so many people in like grassroots activism clubs and had those skills already, that they were able to do the living wage at the same time, and a lot of work with, you know, underserved and underrepresented minority groups at the same time. I think they were also working on like migrant worker rights while I was there as well. And there's, it's great to have leaders of campaigns who know how to do grassroots organization and get those skills off the ground. But even, you know, the quiet people can be part of the big changes as well. And I think, you know, yeah, it seems like Georgetown's a lot safer, but there's always room for somebody's voice to be heard who's not being heard. So I think there's just different projects right now, but that doesn't mean that there's no room for activism.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
One last question I have, kind of, I'd like to see what everyone says about this, but we have a mural, a huge mural in the LGBTQ Center hanging on the wall, the Expressions of a Better Georgetown mural. And
so
I wanted to ask if you have any recollection of that being painted, if you were.
Yeah, I was there for that. I think one of the, there's a purple person down at the bottom on the left, that's mine. And yeah, no, that was a really cool event. We did it at one of our colleagues' house on S Street and got a huge poster board, and everybody came by and put in different parts. And it wasn't the like design wasn't brainstormed ahead of time. It was really just people brought what they wanted to put in, and it ended up coming out beautifully. And it's great that it's still hanging in the Resource Center.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was a really fun day of painting. Or I guess it took a couple of renditions just because we wanted to make sure that everybody's issues were, you know, represented, and just to show the amount of different clubs and interest groups of, and the different types of students that were involved in the Out for Change campaign. It wasn't just, you know, GU Pride, or wasn't just, you know, the women's rights groups. It was everybody involved in, well, in this together.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, is there anything else that you can think of that you want to share before we wrap up this interview?
No, I mean, I think it's awesome that you you and your colleagues and Shiva are putting together a 10th anniversary celebration. I would love to be part of the listserv that gets the information when you're all finished with it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we'll have, depending, I mean, we have a, like, rough timeline, but depending on when we finish up with the website, we'll be sharing that with everyone. We already have the Joya booked for a revisiting the town hall exactly on the day 10 years after, on October 24th.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, so details about that will be coming out. But yeah, so we'll definitely keep you updated. And I'm excited to see everything that the reaction.
Cool. Yeah, I think watching the reaction is going to be awesome. And I mean, you've probably been through all the Voice and Georgetown articles on what it was like beforehand, so it'll be cool to see the difference on what's happening on in campus in 2007 versus 17.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for your work on the project. Best of luck with all your interviews and putting everything together.
Of course, thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.